You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, your putrid, pus-filled gums could be the end of you. But don't worry, we're here to help, not ridicule. Is it safe to go in the water? Shark attacks are on the increase. Do you know what to do if you encounter a giant, hungry, toothy fish? Is acupuncture real or is it all in your head? And the top 11 nicknames men give their junk. Let's meet today's friend. Getting a kick out of life, it's Skylar Charisma.
Woohoo! And we are the champions again, Phil, which means it's party time in downtown L.A.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments and they notice your five-star reviews. And don't forget to subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Knock on your neighbor's door and tell them, subscribe. Well, Skylar, always wonderful to see you here.
Thank you.
As the one and only friend today. See, but you fill my friend card.
Thank you.
I don't feel a need for any additional friends today because you're
here. I'm enough.
Yes.
I'm enough, right?
Right. And how often have we been out there searching for enough?
Oh, we're always searching, aren't we?
Yes. But we are the champions again, my friend. Champions of what?
Well, hello, women's soccer.
Oh.
The U.S. Women's National Soccer Team is being honored as we speak at a rally in Los Angeles. It's their first public appearance since winning the FIFA Women's World Cup, which is their third championship and first Women's World Cup title since 1999. So where's the party?
Where?
Downtown L.A., of course. Yeah. L.A. Live.
L.A., Los Angeles, the hub
Los
of soccer.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, speaking of the hub of soccer, sorry.
Yes.
So I was looking it up. Guess which state is actually voted the most enthusiastic state in the U.S. when it comes to soccer?
California.
I wish.
It's not?
No. Go north a couple.
To Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Guess what number California is?
2.
7.
No.
Yeah.
What, behind, what? I don't know. I'm just thinking closer to
I don't remember.
Mexico, Texas,
yeah, well,
Arizona.
Actually, yeah, in that
Or maybe
that range.
Maybe closer to Cuba, Florida.
But yeah, so everyone, at least in L.A., that's a soccer fan, which is probably thousands, lined up around 7 a.m. to catch a glimpse of the new champs.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're excited for them. Congratulations.
Here's what I'm thinking the Washington deal is. There are more helicopter parents in Washington.
That might be it. I think you're onto something.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and did you know that the team, the women's team, is going to collect $2 million for winning this?
Really? You get cash?
Yeah.
You don't just get a trophy?
No, and guess how much the men get when they win?
$2 million?
8.
Oh, no, that's a travesty.
But guess who has never won the tournament?
The U.S. men.
Yep.
They suck. They do. When it comes to world competition, the men's soccer team isn't even, I mean, they're not even close.
Maybe that's why we're number 7.
Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with women's soccer. I like
watching. No, not at all.
When it comes watching females compete, okay,
uh-huh.
in order, what did we agree? It's beach volleyball, right,
uh-huh.
is number one.
Uh-huh.
Tennis is number 2.
Uh-huh.
And soccer is number 3.
Okay.
And then after that, it's a wash. Golf.
What about gymnastics?
Well, is that a sport? You have judges.
You still have to be an athlete. You got to be flexible.
Yeah.
You got to have good balance. You got to have that upper body strength. I mean, I should know. I was
you
got to
have a voice like Minnie Mouse.
1,000 years ago. Oh, yeah. And you got to be 4 feet tall, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And have joint problems.
Those you get later.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Okay. Moving on. There are other stories, of course.
Yes.
And staying in California for this story, boy, we came real close to taking our own lives legally.
Yes. Yeah. Legislation that would allow California physicians to help terminally ill patients end their lives has actually, though, met strong opposition from lawmakers in Catholic districts.
Mm-hmm.
And,
It went up for a vote in the legislature and got shot down.
Got shot down.
Yeah.
But no state has actually passed the Right to Die legislation this year, and efforts have been defeated or stalled in states such as Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Maine, New Jersey. And
you can go to Oregon.
You can go to Oregon. Do you remember that woman, Brittany Maynard?
Yes.
She moved to Oregon.
And she did it on mm-hmm. the internet.
Yeah, she did. She had brain cancer, so she moved there to legally end her life. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching this story. It made me cry.
Yeah. Well, see how it really does sad. If you have to have a doctor involved and the doctor is ethical And then the decision is made together with the doctor and with your family, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so there's no controversy as to the end purpose or the purpose that leads to your end, naturally, because you know how it is. You know, you have friends who mm-hmm. have various thresholds for anxiety, and some of them want to end it all mm-hmm. after their friend says something mean.
Right.
And, you know, that's not a reason. That's not a reason to invoke your right to die. And so if there's a physician involved, then I you know, I'm waffling on this a little bit because the whole sanctity of life thing. But then again, what's the purpose of life if it's if you're on a 10 or 11 or a 12 on a scale of 1 to 10 in pain on a regular basis and you can't have a quality life?
Right. And you can't speak and you can't comprehend anything, or you can comprehend it in your mind, but you can't mm-hmm. verbally express yeah. yourself.
And see, the other dynamic that feeds into this is before we had all these wonderful advancements in medicine that can keep you alive well beyond when maybe in 1950 you would have died mm-hmm. within a matter of days.
Right.
But today they can give you a pill or a shot or a quick little surgery and you could live for another 50 years. So we have that additional dynamic that medicine jumps in, and the old Hippocratic Oath, you know, do no harm and do whatever you can to save the person's life, right? And so I'm paraphrasing it. That's not exactly what it is, but doctors do their best to keep somebody alive. That's their oath. And so you have that conflict, and you have to have a law to usurp the Hippocratic Oath and the law against suicide, which is steeped in the understanding that life is it's something that you have to hold on to as long as you possibly can. There's nothing more valuable than human life.
Right. But do you think that some people do it for selfish reasons? Like when a family is deciding that their child who was in a horrific accident and will no longer be able to speak or walk, you know, just kind of sits there in the bed, you know, it's up to them to decide whether or not that their child should mm-hmm. live or die. And they choose to keep that child alive because they don't want to have to deal with the loss.
Right.
Even though that child can't move, mm-hmm. speak, can't do
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's...
Well, they hold out hope that there is
course.
Something there that can be nurtured and grown. And who knows, that somebody might grow up to be a Nobel laureate or something like that without being able to speak or move. You never know. Technology. They might say, let's wait another 5 years because medicine and technology will catch up with whatever it is that is ailing our child. And so there's that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a difficult thing for sure, but giving people the right with the assistance of a doctor just enhances your freedom of choice, I guess, and your pursuit of happiness. And if you can't be happy being alive because of medical conditions beyond your control, then I suppose I'm okay with it. It's just I feel weird saying I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to admit. Well, in Montana, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, they have court decisions or laws permitting doctors to prescribe life-ending drugs. And there's also a court ruling pending in New Mexico.
But then again, there are people who end their lives because they're stupid.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah. And 4th of July was probably a good time for that to happen.
Is that a good time?
Well, I mean... There's never a good time.
Right.
But, you know, if you're looking for an excuse, there are people out there who, you know, just give them a chance and they'll blow their brains out.
Or just give them alcohol
yes.
and fireworks.
Yeah.
And they'll blow their brains out.
Did something happen?
Something happened to 22-year-old Devin Staples. In Maine, he apparently set off a firework on top of his own head, instantly killing him, making him Maine's first fireworks fatality since they were legalized in 2012.
Well, they were legal before that. It's just that at some point they became illegal.
And then legal again.
Yes.
And now I don't know what's going to happen now that people are trying to pop them off
so
their heads.
What, you take fireworks out of all the reasonable people's hands because there's one idiot.
Well, and let me ask you something, Phil. So I've never really touched fireworks. So how big is a mortar tube? Like the one he put on top of his
head? A mortar tube?
That's what he put on top of his head.
Wait a minute. You use the word mortar, and I think, okay, fine. I'm not putting that anywhere near my face, let alone on my head. Mortar?
Yeah.
That sounds like military grade.
Right?
Yes.
So he put it on top of his head, and then he lit it.
The mother of all fireworks.
Ugh. There's a...
I'm sorry to laugh.
I know. It's really, it's not funny. It's sad.
But in the grand scheme of things, in the human condition, this is one of the funnier ways somebody has died.
It's going to be on that show.
Yes. Funny ways people die.
Yep.
Isn't that what it is?
They're going to they're going to recreate it. It's going to be on TV. His friends are going to be interviewed. Ugh, it's going to be a whole thing now.
I know. What have they done with my Oreos?
What have they done?
You'll find out next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Friend.
Skylar Charisma is here today. Did you know that 4 out of every 5 visitors to national parks are white people?
Wow.
It's true.
Not surprised.
Come on, you not white people. Visit our national parks. They're really very nice. But look at me. Maybe it doesn't appeal to you. I'm a white person. I think national parks are cool. A new type of Oreo is coming out next week.
New.
Yes. They're called Oreo Thins, and that's exactly what they are. They're like regular Oreos, but much skinnier. It's 2 smaller chocolate cookies sandwiching an almost invisible layer of cream filling. So what's the point? The cream filling is the point of Oreos, isn't it?
Correct.
For comparison's sake, an Oreo is 9 millimeters thick. An Oreo Thin is 5 millimeters thick. So they've erased 4 millimeters of gooey deliciousness. Because most of us are math nerds, right? At least I am. The volume comparison is stark. It's striking. The volume of a regular Oreo, get this, is 13,966 cubic millimeters.
All right.
The volume of an Oreo Thin is 8,907. You following me here?
I'm here. Yeah.
Do you know what that means? It means Oreo Thins are about 63% the total size of Oreos.
So they must be healthier.
So that's what you're thinking. Oh, those are so thin. I bet I can eat a ton of them and I'll get thin. Wrong. It's a huge scam. Each Oreo Thin is about 35 calories.
Okay.
Which is just 7 fewer calories than a regular Oreo.
Not 7. 7 calories.
7 calories.
That's it.
Yeah. Because a regular Oreo is 42, right? So if you eat 3 Oreo Thins, you've already surpassed 2 regular Oreos, right?
Yeah.
105 versus 84, if you're following me with the math.
Carry
so
the
that
one.
Means
yeah.
An Oreo Thin has 83% of the calories of a regular Oreo, but it's only 63% of the size. So it's more efficient if you're going for less fun.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Give me the 7 calories.
So it's a huge scam. You know, I say dip them in whipped cream, and then we're good.
And then we're good to go.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. You know who's not good to go? Is, well, let's put it this way. Hugh Jackman, the actor, the Wolverine,
yeah,
is on a huge leash. Hugh Jackman is on a huge leash, isn't he?
What kind of? Yeah. I mean, okay. What do you think, Phil? What do you think the secret to a happy Hollywood marriage is?
Trust.
Sure.
Visitation.
Yeah. Like, for Hugh Jackman and his wife of 20 years,
yes,
mind you. There are 2. Number 1, never be apart for more than 2 weeks, which isn't a bad little
rule. Because when you're in the biz, like when he was off singing those horrible songs in Les Miserables.
Ugh, don't even get me started.
Was he away from his wife for more than 2 weeks?
Well, no, because it's like there are 2 rules to this marriage.
But he was off in miserable land wherever it was they were
filming
that miserable movie.
But she probably visited. Okay, so that's number 1.
Yeah.
You know, never be apart for more than 2 weeks. Number 2, he's not allowed to work with Angelina Jolie.
Why? Is there some history there?
Well, I don't think there's history, but not with them per se. But you remember the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah.
You know, she was starring that with Brad Pitt. And
but,
at the time...
But Hugh Jackman wasn't in that
movie. He had nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay.
But I think it might be her own insecurities because Brad and Angelina became Brangelina after that movie.
Oh, because Brad was still with...
He was still with Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
And they denied all those rumors, you know, that this on-screen romance was actually turning into an off-screen romance. Well, it turns out that it did. Now they have like 3,000 kids together.
But still, I mean, at this day, because Angelina Jolie, let's face it, she's making a transition from a gorgeous actress to a world ambassador and possible politician. There was word that she was going to run for a Senate or a congressional seat at one point.
Right. I think, you know, I mean, this was during an interview that they were doing with in Australia. They did this joint interview. I think they were partly, you know, she was partly joking because she's like, ah, ha, ha, I'm sure she's lovely. But I feel like there was some seriousness to it.
There's always a bit of truth in humor, isn't there? Isn't there? Yeah. All right. Well, while we're talking about celebrities.
Yeah.
I've got six celebrities here
who
you may or may not have known had hidden talents.
Now, you mentioned that earlier.
I did.
And I'm excited to see who they are and what
did
their hidden
talents
are. Did I
mention it to our friends in the audience, or did I just mention it to you?
You know what? That might have been, you know, off the air. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to give anything away.
That's okay. We can edit this part out. You know, well, Condoleezza Rice, she's a celebrity.
She is.
Because we know who she is, right? And I knew this. She's a classical pianist.
See, I did not know that.
Yeah. And I said that carefully. Pianist. I'm a trained announcer. Don't try that at home. If you're at home, say, she plays the piano. But I say she's a classical pianist. There's a video of her playing Amazing Grace with a violinist named Jenny Oakes Baker. It's been making the rounds this week on the internet. And here are five more celebrities with hidden talents. Pierce Brosnan. You know who he is.
Of course.
He can breathe fire.
Really?
He learned how to do it back in 1969 when he was 16, but he stopped after he burned the inside of his mouth on an episode of The Muppets in 1996.
Wow.
There's video of that out there, too. Gina Davis.
Okay.
You remember her?
Of course. Thelma and Louise.
Yes. She's a world-class archer.
Oh.
She started doing archery as a hobby. You know, that's a bow and arrow, back in the late 90s, and almost made the Olympic team about 2 years later.
Really?
Yes. How about
that's
that?
That's impressive.
Now, why wasn't she in that movie about people with bows and arrows?
I don't know.
What's that movie? The famous one with Jennifer, what's her name?
Oh, Hunger Games?
Hunger Games. Why wasn't she in Hunger Games?
I don't know.
She could probably outshoot Jennifer, what's her name, in a archery battle.
I'm sure she could, and is Lawrence, I believe. You're looking for the last name
Jennifer
Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes.
Jennifer,
or we can keep calling her Jennifer, what's her name?
You know who Steve Buscemi is.
Yes,
Buscemi.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, creepy guy, right?
A little creepy.
Yeah. He's an excellent juggler.
I can see that.
He wanted to be a street performer and practiced every day as a kid, showed off his skills in an episode of Boardwalk Empire back in 2012.
Nice.
Yeah. Christopher Walken, another creepy guy. You may not know that he's a lion tamer.
Oh, but that voice. Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Come here, you lion. He did it while he worked for a traveling circus when he was a teenager.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
He looks a little like a carny, doesn't he?
Yeah, he could totally pass for one.
Mike Rowe, you know who that is.
Oh, I love
him. He's the Dirty Jobs
guy. Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
Dirty thoughts when it comes to Mike Rowe. That's okay.
I'm about to spoil the fantasy.
No.
He was an opera singer.
Oh, I knew that.
You did?
Yeah, and I think that's what makes him more attractive, at least for me.
He wanted to be an actor but couldn't get his union card until he found out he could get it a lot faster if he started singing in the opera. So he auditioned for the Baltimore Opera Company and did shows there for the next 6 years.
Nice.
Yeah. So how about that? Did you know that?
I did.
Working down there in the sewer, getting all dirty, he could sing opera where it's nice and cacophonous and echoey. That would sound great. It's better than singing in the shower if you're in the sewer.
Anything.
And the rats don't throw stuff at you.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So we have, what else? Oh, do you go to the Starbucks?
I do. I went there today.
You spend a little money there, don't you?
I do. $4.45 every time.
Is that one cup of coffee?
Well, I get a caramel macchiato. I'm a little fancy.
A caramel what?
Macchiato.
What goes in that?
For me, it's non-fat milk, sugar-free caramel, and coffee.
Do you pay extra for the non-fat and the sugar-free?
No, I think it's all the same.
It's the same as the fat and the sugar full.
Yeah, I don't get a discount.
No?
Mm-mm.
$4.50?
$4.45.
What's the volume?
This right here.
Oh, okay. What do they call that? A venti?
This is a grande. It's a medium.
What's bigger, a venti or a grande?
Venti is bigger than a grande.
Is there something?
And a tall, believe it or not, is actually the smallest.
What's bigger than a venti?
I don't think there is a bigger one.
There is
a big gulp.
Is there?
But that's 7-Eleven.
A gigante?
Or Circle K.
Yeah.
I forget.
They should have a gigante.
A gigante.
So what's the deal with Starbucks? Are prices coming down because the price of coffee's coming down?
Nope. Actually, prices are going up.
No?
You know? No,
really?
Yeah, seriously. So if you were thinking, you know what? Starbucks really isn't expensive enough. Well, apparently they totally agree with you. Starbucks prices are going up nationwide. Most drinks are going to cost between 5 cents and 20 cents more. And you might think it's because coffee beans are getting more expensive, so they're passing the cost on to you. But they're actually going down. Starbucks says the price increase is to cover things like rent,
yeah,
equipment, and salaries. Because now that's our responsibility.
You hear that, Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's? Now's your chance to lower your prices and eat into the domain of coffeedom that Starbucks seems to have a handle on. I don't get it. I don't drink their coffee.
You don't? Really?
It's too bitter for me.
Oh.
It's not my style.
All right.
Hey, let me put on my best cheesy commercial guy voice. Do you have unhealthy gums? Periodontal disease can lead to clubfoot, diarrhea, and embarrassing liver spots. No, really, bad gums can be really bad for you. How bad could it kill you? Dr. Howard Marshall is an expert on the topic, and he joins us live next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Unhealthy gums. What other hideous diseases can they lead to? Let's find out. Joining us live is a periodontist, Dr. Howard Marshall. Knows a thing or two about this. Dr. Marshall, welcome. I presume you've looked into your share of mouths.
I would say, yes, absolutely.
What's the ratio then out of 100 mouths? How many have gum disease?
50%.
50%? That's almost epidemic, isn't it?
It is. I call it a chronic epidemic.
Well, why is this? I mean, are we brushing our teeth wrong?
Well, it is because, first of all, periodontal disease is very complex. It's not just one disease. There is a juvenile type that can hit as early as 5 or 6 years of age when the first molars come in that are permanent. There's another one that's a juvenile periodontitis that's also fairly severe. Then there's the garden variety that occurs when people just neglect cleaning their teeth, going to the dentist frequently, they're not flossing, they're not brushing, and they're not going into the dentist either.
So we have to floss then, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely.
How many times a day?
Just once a day to disrupt the plaque. And they've also found that if people don't do it once a day but use the water pick on the other days, then they'll get equally good results.
Hmm. My wife swears, and you tell me if this is real, that when she flosses, and she does it after every meal, I mean, she's flossing 3-4 times a day. She swears that her gums not only stay healthy, but that they grow. She had some receding gum lines, and after flossing regularly, almost like a lunatic every day, her gums grew back.
Well, usually they can't grow back if you've lost the attachment. I would say that inflammation can shrink, so you go back to a normal, firm gum. But it's impossible, literally, if you've lost gum attachment to the root and bone underneath it. You cannot regrow that. You can stop it, but you can't regrow it.
That's when you need a periodontist to fix things up. Yeah. All right. So gingivitis. I mean, can they find a creepier name for the disease? That's the name of gum disease, is it not?
Well, again, you have to distinguish. Gingivitis is reversible. It simply means inflammation of the gingiva or gum itself. That's the tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Periodontal disease is inflammation and loss of bone.
Yeah.
That's what's under the gum.
Ah.
So gingivitis, reversible. Periodontal disease, treatable but not reversible.
Gotcha. Now, in the case of gingivitis, can that lead to all sorts of other nasty stuff?
Well, that, if it progresses, it's going to ultimately disturb and destroy the fiber attachment from the gum to the tooth root. Then once those fibers go, it's down to the bone crest. That starts to melt away. And then over time, you lose more and more bone. Ultimately, the teeth can get loose, and then ultimately they have to be removed.
Now, these all sound like issues in your mouth, but can other serious medical conditions beyond that spring forth?
Absolutely. What we've now learned, particularly in the past few years, is that this has been linked to five or six medical conditions. Among those are Alzheimer's. There has been linkage to coronary heart disease. That's a little bit controversial right now. It's just at a meeting last week where somebody reported and said it's not quite as simple regarding heart disease as we thought. But there are other researchers that have reported direct linkages to finding the periodontal bacteria in the lining of the coronary arteries.
Wow.
It's also been linked to, as I said, Alzheimer's. It's been linked to low-weight newborn babies for mothers that have periodontal disease.
Hmm.
The babies are born at a lower weight than they should be. It's been linked to lung infections. It's been linked to diabetes 2, which, as you know, then has spin-off problems. If you get diabetes 2, you can have secondary problems with circulation, with the heart, with excess weight.
And maybe stroke out.
Yeah, so there are many side effects from that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something to be taken lightly because of the medical permutations that can be linked with periodontal disease in addition to the potential tooth loss.
What's the thinking now, Dr. Marshall, on the antibiotics for people who have a history of an arrhythmia or an unusual heartbeat or a mitral valve prolapse? I've heard all of these things that before you get your teeth cleaned or if they get in there with a chisel to get all the plaque off of there or get under your gums with a deep cleaning, that you should take a half bottle of...
Yes.
Yeah. Is the thinking that you do that now or no? Because we go back and forth.
It's controversial. The American Dental Association put out a statement a few years ago where they weren't recommending it routinely. On the other hand, I personally feel that it depends on the level of infection in the gum tissue. Believe it or not, if you have a periodontally involved mouth and you were to lay out the square millimeter area of all the tissue that's ulcerated, let's assume all 28 teeth are present, not the wisdom teeth, but the other normal teeth, 28 teeth laid out, it's the square area of a postcard. That's a pretty damn big ulcer.
Yeah, it is.
So picture that and picture the toxins and the bacteria directly themselves going through that ulcer bed into the bloodstream and then seeding out all over.
Hmm.
So what I recommend is if a patient came in, had been neglecting their mouth and hadn't been seen for a couple of years or whatever, and I see a moderate to severe case, I will not let the cleaning be done that visit. I will put them first on an antibiotic and a mouth rinse that will destroy periodontal organisms.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I will have them on that for at least 10 days, 2 weeks.
Wow.
Before I go in and do the first of the deep clean.
It's hard enough finding enough time for one appointment, doctor. Now I have to have two. All right, fine. What's stinkier, inflamed gums or plaque when it comes to breath?
I would say inflamed gums would have a worse odor, and that's because it's not only plaque that's in the inflamed gum lining, but it's also bleeding, breakdown products from the bleeding, tissue that's dying. It's more of a feast for the bacteria, more of a picnic for the bacteria than just plain plaque.
All right. Well, boy. So I think you've encouraged us now to see the doctor as soon as we possibly can, is there a place we can go that you have some kind of domain over, a website perhaps, where we can learn up on this?
Well, if they go to my website, which is just drhowardmarshall.com, they will find little bullets that answer a lot of questions. So they can get a lot of information from that. And also, I just published, and it's on Amazon, my third book for the public on gum disease. And this is an excellent, totally up-to-the-minute book, very lightweight, about $9.95 or something. And it is called Gum Disease Care and Treatment, 2015 edition.
And it's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com, incidentally.
Okay, great.
Make it real easy for people to find. Sir, thank you for talking with us. And there's enough urgency now to where perhaps I won't put off my next dental appointment. I thank you for that.
You're very welcome, and I thank you for helping educate the public with me.
Dr. Howard Marshall, I hope to talk to you again, and keep doing the good work you're doing.
Thanks so much, Phil. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Great. On to other things. Think about these teeth. An eighth shark attack was reported on the North Carolina coast this past weekend, and swimmers are proceeding with caution as they head to coastal beaches, as you might imagine. Are you safe? Are sharks really that menacing, or are they just misunderstood? We'll learn how to survive a shark encounter with an expert who knows a thing or two about that next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Okay, we're back, and we're done flossing here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Skylar, you were so quiet during that. I could have sworn maybe you would have given me an ew.
I wanted to, but I was really paying attention. It was very informative, and then all I wanted to do on the break was floss.
You know what?
I'm bringing it next time.
Isn't it something, though? These guys, they always say that the dentists, the guys in the dental profession are the most suicidal. Because they're looking into these mouths all day, and it's just, look what he's looking at. I mean, the blood and the pus and the plaque and the
stink.
And
then apparently what he's smelling,
Yeah. I mean,
no, thank you.
Right.
I like this job better.
I mean, he's doing good by curing all of that stuff, certainly. But you hear it in his voice, like, oh, gosh, another mouth.
Another mouth. Another day, another mouth.
Yeah. Even though dogs, who have delightful breath sometimes, generally not, though. Even though dogs kill more Americans each year than do sharks, we are instantly scared out of our board shorts when we see a shark, especially up close. Shark attacks are up in some areas. I mentioned before the break there that attacks off the East Coast in North Carolina are up. Is it safe to go in the water? Let's ask Veronica Gray. Who's she? A.K.A. the Queen of Surfing, the world's most televised shark expert. She's the director of a documentary called Worst Shark Attack Ever, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. You've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
The Cure management provide music, I assume. Or
MGMT,
maybe they're attacked by sharks in the documentary. Not certain. Superstar surfer John Florence. Know that guy. Author of the book Swim Without Sharks, The Real Surfer's Paradise. Again, Veronica Gray, a pleasure to have you on the program. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
And great to have you here. When we're out in the water, Veronica, sharks are routinely right out there with us, aren't they? I mean, and usually nothing happens, right?
Usually nothing happens. Scientists say that if you've been in the ocean, you've probably been within 10 feet of a shark and not even known it. And just yesterday, I was surfing in Hawaii, and I saw something big and silvery underneath me.
Yeah?
And I didn't stick around to see what kind of fish it was.
Well, then wait a minute. You know what to do around sharks, and I hear it in your voice. You were freaked out.
Oh, the only reason I know what to do is because I am irrationally and morbidly afraid of them.
Oh, okay. And
so
still,
you surf amongst
the tiger sharks and the mako sharks there that tend to like to take a chomp first, just a little taste nibble, right?
My love of surfing overcomes my fear of the men in gray suits, as we like to call them in the ocean.
Yeah, and I can relate to that. Really, I can. There practically is nothing better than surfing. I mean, sometimes surfing does rival sex, doesn't it?
Depends who it's with.
Okay.
Don't say that to the king of surfing, John John. That's all I have to say.
Oh, is there a thing with you two? Or?
No, he invited me to his house on the 4th of July for a party, but I couldn't come. But it was still nice to be asked.
Oh, well, okay.
We'll just leave it at that.
We'll keep tabs on you and John John and see what happens in the future. Now, are sharks typically attacking surfers with wetsuits on because it makes them look like seals?
Yes, which is why we've trademarked the world's first ever and only line of shark repellent wetsuits that are specially designed to not look like a seal simply by having black and white stripes on the arms and legs.
I heard about the stripes thing. What is that with sharks?
Okay, so it's twofold. Basically, there's only one lethal creature in the ocean more deadly than a shark, and it's a banded sea snake. They're black and white striped. And so over 400 million years, which is how long sharks have been on this planet, they've been here before birds, they've been here before trees. And so they've been hardwired evolutionarily to avoid black and white stripes. And so when we learned this, we're like, why don't we put black and white stripes on our wetsuits and surfboards and rash guards and swimsuits? And so that's what we've done. And, you know, so now you can find all of our trademarked shark repellent stuff all over the internet.
That's awesome. And so when you come out in your black and white striped wetsuit and your surfboard and or your board shorts or your leash strap and all that sort of thing, all the other tough guy surfers, they paddle up to you and they say, bro, you're irrationally scared of sharks, bro.
You know what? The thing is, there's so much respect for sharks, and that now it's becoming more and more known that black and white stripes repel sharks, that when they see that, they're like, oh, good call. It's the energy has shifted around that.
Now, the fancy stuff that you sell there, if I have a white surfboard, can I just take a Sharpie to it and put stripes on the bottom?
You could. You could. You actually could.
You know, aside from being practical, I'm cheap. Now,
we call that frugal.
Frugal,
yes.
Okay.
Thrifty.
Now, what attracts a shark? Is it blood? Is it urine? Is it movement?
You are so well-versed in sharks. It's all of those things, but the number one thing that attracts sharks above all is movement.
Ooh.
And so it's the erratic splashing about simply because you end up thrashing like a wounded prey or a dead fish.
Well, erratic thrashing about pretty much describes surfing now, doesn't it?
Well, you know, if you're a decent surfer, your movements are really precise. So if you want to think about splashing, it's what little kids do on the shoreline.
Oh.
Or if your dog was doggy paddling, that's the sort of splashing about. So if you're a surfer, try to be very precise about your strokes.
Yes.
And you have a much less chance of attracting a shark.
Right. Almost ballet-like. You see some of the surfers and you don't see any splash whatsoever when their hands go in when they're paddling.
Grace on the water.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So what now, let's say you saw that man in the gray suit beneath you there yesterday while you were out surfing in Hawaii, and you didn't have time to get out of there, and it came up to say hello to you. Now, you have your shark encounter. What do you do?
You never take your eyes off the shark, because that is a shark's opening move, is a surprise strike from behind. So if you see a shark and you're terrified and you're thinking, oh, I've got to get out of here, the minute you turn, you're dead in the water, so to speak. You have to stand your ground and keep making eye contact with the shark and do whatever it takes to get back to the shore, even if you're sort of backwards paddling, never taking your eye off the shark.
That's tough on a big surf day, isn't it?
It is tough because, you know, that's your first instinct, is to run or yell. All of those things are actually what the shark is looking for its opening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remove that opening, like if you just keep making eye contact with them, you remove their opening move. And they're like, wait, I don't know what to do next. And if you'll notice, when you watch the Shark Week on Discovery, anyone who's diving with sharks, they never take their eye off the shark.
Mm.
They're always, like, really focused on the shark.
Well, that's the person who's diving. They're underwater. The eyes are in the same environment. But as a surfer, your eyes are above the water. Can the shark actually see your face?
No. And that's where, you know, shark repellent stuff comes in. Because all they see above is they're like, is that a seal? Is that a turtle? Is that my meal?
Mm-hmm.
And then they see the black and white stripes and they're like, oh God, no.
Okay. So now let's say you're paddling for a wave and you're about to catch it, and the shark does catch you by surprise. You didn't know it was there because, as the experts say, the shark is within, there's always a shark within 10 or 15 feet of you. And so the shark comes up and it takes a sample of your the rail of your surfboard and gets a bit of your hip with it.
And oh my gosh.
I know, it's
such a worst case scenario almost.
Yes, but I mean that's what happens generally. They're coming up to take a taste. They're not sure what it is that they're getting.
And that's exactly what happens.
And so now if you have the ability to reach around, I've always heard that you should go for one of two things. Either go for the shark's eyes or go for the slots, the gills, whatever those are, and just get your hand in there and then yank on something and the shark will run away. Is that true?
Yes. Oh, yes. If they get to the point of biting you, stop at nothing, because you're basically now going to become a buffet. So fight for your life at that point. I'm really sorry to say.
Yeah. But
what's more sensitive? Is there a more sensitive part of their face or their body?
Yeah. Out of those parts, the eyes. Definitely try to gouge the eye out if you can. Yeah. But like, have you seen the size of the eye of a great white shark?
No.
It's like the size of a puppy's head.
Oh. So you can't miss it, in other words.
No, but you're like using your entire fist to gouge that eye out.
Yeah, and use your half bitten off fingernails to get in there and just slice around. All right, so that's the thing. And I guess what we can say is that when the shark does get a good taste of your surfboard, the fiberglass and the resin and the balsa wood or whatever else it is, that the shark generally doesn't like that flavor. And the same with your wetsuit, doesn't like the flavor. So if you're lucky, they'll take the one bite and they'll go away. Isn't that right?
Well, that's if you're lucky, and hopefully it wasn't a great white shark, because if you get bitten by one of those, you're pretty much done.
Ah, okay. Now, we don't have a lot of time. If you could just give me a couple, I know you've compiled a list of safe beaches when it comes to sharks. Just give me one or two, a place where we're pretty much safe from shark bite.
I would say the entire country of Costa Rica.
Oh.
Because they have great surfing, and it sounds like you have surfing in your heart. So of all the surf countries, I would say Costa Rica and Indonesia.
Oh, well, yeah, but then they've got the snakes over there in Indonesia, right?
Yeah, but they don't like to go after humans. They don't like to go after anyone unless you corner them into some little reef hole.
And why would you do that?
I don't know.
Your book, The Swim Without Sharks, The Real Surfer's Paradise, is in the store at Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we'll watch your documentary, Worst Shark Attack Ever. Veronica Gray, the Queen of Surfing, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you so much. Happy Shark Week.
Okay, thank you. That's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including the best beaches to visit for whatever reason you have to visit a beach. The infamous Patty Snatcher is ensnared by an ingenious trap. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, people swear by it, but does acupuncture really work, or does your brain do all the healing by suggestion? We'll speak with a specialist. Our travel guy knows which beaches to visit for any purpose, from body surfing to body watching. He should know. And he joins us live. Skyler Charisma is here. I'm Phil Hewlett. I have surfing in my heart. Thanks for listening. What?
You do.
That's what we learned from the first hour.
We sure did.
Go back and listen to it and subscribe to the program. Thank you. All right, fine. I've had a little acupuncture, so I'm going to add my personal experience when that expert comes on.
Okay, I have not, so I'm going to listen.
So somebody who's experienced in various things is someone, an actress we call affectionately call Lilo. And she's in the news again for, boy, if we had the negotiating skills that she has.
Right.
We would be so far along, wouldn't we?
Or does she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan, did she turn down a whopper of a deal or is it the other way around? The actress slash tabloid regular apparently rejected Burger King's offer to star in one of its ads. Lohan was asked to wear a spicy chicken fries carton and smoke a chicken fry as if it were a cigarette.
She had to put on a carton.
Yeah.
The kind that you have your fries in.
Right. And then they wanted her to smoke a chicken fry.
So why she'd be wearing the carton just because why? Because she's drunk? She's loaded up.
Spicy chicken fries are back. And apparently she's the person to let everyone know that. So she allegedly rejected the deal because it poked fun at her past.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
All right.
Not because she didn't want to dress up as a carton of spicy chicken fries. Apparently, she really wanted to do that.
She did.
Well, I don't know. But anyway. Well,
that sounds fun.
Another source says it's actually the other way around, that Burger King rejected her because she wanted creative control and to make too many changes to the script. And I don't know what kind of script she, you know, she would have been making a lot of.
Put on your fries carton and shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm just sad we're not going to see that.
No, yeah, me too. But the whole thing about digging into her past, she does a commercial where she drives up to a school in a car and goes up the curb and rolls down the window with a cigarette in her mouth, I think, and looks to a kid and says, "Kid, get in the car." And he says, "You're not my mom." And
not only that, you know how many car accidents she's been in?
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know how many cigarettes she's smoked.
So talk about digging into the past. She was okay with that ad.
Maybe she's trying to turn a new leaf.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. Incidentally, good news on the negotiation front. If you're a Simpsons fan, Harry Shearer has decided, yes, he will, after all, be on the program after saying that he was quitting, and that was it. So now we have Mr. Burns and Smithers and all the various characters that he does that we love. Ned Flanders, right, on The Simpsons. How can you do The Simpsons without Harry Shearer unless you hire somebody who sounds like Harry Shearer, which I bet there's a whole line of those people outside the door there at Simpsons Land.
And they're probably very upset right now.
Yeah, right. What? I thought I was going to get the gig. all right, so the furor of late over the Confederate flag has an exclamation point now in South Carolina, where there's been some decision made there at the state capitol. Is that correct?
Yeah, it looks like the Confederate flag could be coming down from the South Carolina State House grounds. The governor's for it. Nearly all state senators are backing it, and petitioners are collecting signatures by the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
So a final Senate vote of 36-3 sent the bill to the House. Late Tuesday morning today, South Carolina House of Representatives vote 93-18 to send the flag bill directly to the floor and bypass committee.
Fine. Get that American flag up there and get your state flag and that's it.
Exactly.
Right? Okay. Before we snatch it right off of there. Speaking of snatching.
I had the feeling you were going to do that. yes.
Tell us about the panty snatcher.
Well, this story is for the ladies of Malaysia. You can officially release your panties from captivity because the underwear thief of Penang has been caught. You heard about him, right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he's the serial snatcher of ladies' undergarments.
Oh.
And he's been nabbed red-handed, all thanks to a red bra, believe it or not.
Oh.
Residents of two 45-story megacity condominium complexes outside of Georgetown, Penang, had been suffering a series of brazen bra heists as often as three times a day.
Did you say brazen bra heists?
Yes, I did. And I got this story from VanWinkles.com. He's hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, good.
So management was aware of the problem, but the thief was reportedly clever enough to avoid elevators and corridors with cameras. Finally, residents took it upon themselves to nab the knicker nipper. So they hung up a red bra in a public area as bait. Like a moth to a flame, the thief struck. Security hiding in wait followed the man back to his apartment where they hit the panty jackpot.
Oh.
They also found quite a few more intimate items, an estimated 1,000 to be exact. So get this. Management has put the goods on display, encouraging residents to come on, claim your unmentionables. But very few have, and probably for good reason.
Yes, probably. Who knows what that...
Would you?
Creepy guy did with him.
Would you go grab yours?
No.
Your unmentionables?
Let's go to this good excuse to go shopping.
Exactly.
Yeah. By the way, the number one source of antioxidants in America?
Oh, yes. What
or
is
for
that?
Americans?
Okay.
Do you want to know what it is?
I do.
Well, do you want to give a guess? Number one for antioxidants for Americans.
I was going to say blueberries.
Blueberries?
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
Okay, great.
The number one source for antioxidants for Americans is coffee.
Oh.
Nothing else comes close, not even fruits and vegetables, not even your blueberries.
You know what? I believe it.
You do?
I do.
Okay. So you're getting your antioxidants because you're drinking your coffee.
See?
Or your macchiato. What
it's
is it?
Still my is that... caramel macchiato.
Yeah. Jeez. What do you think about acupuncture?
I think it. I've never done it, but it looks like it might.
I've done it.
Okay, great.
And lots of people swear by it. Those ancient Chinese magical needles stuck into your skin. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, they seem to have healing power. Or is it all in your head? We'll speak with an acupuncture expert. Next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. This just in from the people at Gallup who apparently have nothing better to do than to bother you at dinner time or at the shopping mall. They surveyed a bunch of Americans and found that the overwhelming majority of U.S. smartphone users rely mainly on their computer when browsing products and making purchases online. Hmm. So we're not buying stuff on our phone yet. We have to go to the computer to do that.
I do it all off my phone.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're good to go.
I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Plane tickets,
it's
whatever
really,
I want.
There's really no difference.
It really isn't. It's just a tinier computer.
Yeah. Drew Nystrom is a practicing licensed acupuncturist. Okay? Can you feel the needle going into your skin right now? A little twist, little jab, little blood.
Yeah, I feel it.
He's out of Westminster, California, and it's not, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Westminster.
Yes, not yes. Westminster.
Not Westminster, like some people say locally, but it's Westminster.
That imaginary eye that they just put
California,
in there.
California, and he joins us live. So, sir, thank you very much. Do we say Dr. Nystrom? I mean, how does that work exactly?
Thanks for having me. Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, just fine. I mean, licensed acupuncturist, first of all, licensed, I'm in the dark maybe. I didn't know there was such a license.
Yeah, so there's licensing in almost all 50 states of the country. Everybody, all the states are trying to get it licensed, but not quite there yet.
That's good because you don't want some freakazoid just coming in and like sticking pins in you and doesn't know what they're doing, right?
Exactly, right. You want some sort of oversight so nobody gets hurt. California's got the highest standards as far as the country goes. So, but even with that, when you come out of school in California, you typically only have a master's degree to get licensed. Now, there is additional schooling you can go back for and get your doctorate in acupuncture and oriental.
No kidding. Wow. See, I didn't know any of that either. So that's good. Yeah. So you've got the plaques on the wall to prove it, and that's good. So you could feel comfy about that. So then you should be able to explain to me how acupuncture works.
Okay. So there's, as far as Western medicine, you know, science, they're still trying to figure out exactly how it works. It works on many different levels within the body. Local stimulation works on vasodilation, vasoconstriction, works on the nervous system. The thing I like to tell my patients is something pretty cool that they're doing with studies of functional MRIs, So what they'll go in, say you go in and you get your brain scanned with this MRI machine, then they put a needle in a particular spot, take another image, pull that needle out, take another image. And what they find is every time they put that needle in that exact spot, it will activate and deactivate specific spots of your brain every time.
But the needle's not going into the brain. It's maybe putting it in your ankle or something like that, right?
Right, yeah. So the points are all over the body, even on the skull. But because the skull's there, you're not going to penetrate the brain. Mm-hmm. Unless somebody has some sort of deformation where the skull hasn't closed, then that's a whoopsie. But yeah, that doesn't
happen. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Are there whoopsies in acupuncture?
There's whoopsies in all sorts of professions, but if you look at the statistics, we have a very, very low malpractice rate and caseload, I guess.
Yeah, all right.
Low whoopsie rate.
No, okay.
Low whoopsie rate.
So there's how it works. Is there any possibility that the suggestion is enough to get the brain to make you believe that you feel better?
Oh, of course. I think all our clinical trials that we do for drug therapy and other sorts of Western medicine have proven that placebo is a real thing. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing? No. It's just, it is what it is, and it shows the power of the brain.
If I feel better, I'm happy. So that's the bottom line right there. Well, let me ask you then. Now, how far does the needle go?
It depends on the point itself. So there's a textbook depth to all the points. But it does vary based on person's size as well. You know, you have a 100-pound female, you're not going to put a 3-inch needle in them, versus if you have a 350-pound male, you might put, you know, deeper needles in them.
3 inches of penetration.
So depending on like the glutes, it's a big muscle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of tissue there, so you can definitely go pretty deep there. Now, that's not all styles of acupuncture. There's different styles of acupuncture. And it's like Japanese style is typically very shallow needle insertion, just in the dermis, just in the skin, whereas traditional Chinese typically goes deeper.
Is your least favorite treatment session a 350-pound guy and a glute session? okay, next question. I'm sorry.
He's not going to answer that.
You don't reuse the needles, do you?
No, they're sterile, one-time use. They go into a sharps container that, once that gets full, gets sent off to a facility to get disposed of.
Right, okay.
So you don't have to worry about anybody else's
biohazard.
You know, exactly.
Do you use your fingers or a hammer?
A hammer?
I don't know. I've never had it. How do you get the needles in?
So it's inserted with the hand. Some people do what's called free needle technique, and that's just using the fingers to physically insert the needle. Other people use what's called a guide tube, and it's basically like a thick straw that the needles that helps support the needle, which you tap it in and then pull the guide tube off and then put the needle in.
Yes. Now, I've had it done, and I think the gentleman who did it for me used those guide tubes. But it also seems to me like maybe do you heat up the needles?
You can use what's called moxa. It's a burning of a plant, mugwort, Artemisia, on the needle. And that helps add some more stimulation and therapeutic benefit to that point, because you're stimulating that area with heat as well.
I can tell you that most of the needles, I barely feel them going in. Mm-hmm. But then every now and then, and for me, it was up around the shoulders near the neck. You know, I'm laying on my belly. And every now and then, there's a, whoa!
Yeah.
And so, something got hit there. I don't know what it was, but ah.
Or are there more sensitive areas?
There are more sensitive areas, and you can look just to what do we have more sensitivity with. So we have more sensitivity in our hands and our feet and our face. Things like that, we're going to have more nerve endings and more likely to feel the needle going in. Other areas up on the upper calf or the thigh, abdomen, we typically have less, so we're going to feel it less. But how about
if the pain doesn't present itself at the puncture of the skin, but after you go in a half an inch or however, 3 inches, and
ouch,
that, you know,
stop.
You go in there and then it suddenly you hit something.
Yeah,
what is that, a nerve?
So it could be variants of things. It could be a nerve. It could be a vessel. It could be a muscle spasm, the needle contributing to a muscle cramp, and then that causes a sensation. Typically, the needle shouldn't hurt. There are things you can feel that are good, mm-hmm. and there are things you can feel that are bad.
Yeah.
And it's really up for the practitioner to be on top of it. Things like a dull, heavy ache, warm, tingly sensation, even like a zing or
The zing. That's what I'm talking about.
Those are okay to feel. The zing and the cramp, you don't want to feel throughout the whole time. Those kind of come and go. But the other ones I just said, those are okay to have throughout the whole treatment as long as they're not too strong.
Yeah, because you don't want to tense up. You want to remain relaxed during this for it to work, I would assume.
Yeah, exactly. That does help.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We typically think about aches and pains as something that mm-hmm. you would treat with acupuncture, but there are other things as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, pain is the most recognizable thing as far as we in the Western culture have come to acupuncture for. But because of how it works in conjunction with the brain, like a relay system, and we know the brain controls all the functions of our body for the most part, that we can help with a lot of ailments, if not, you know, pretty much anything that somebody's coming in for.
What would we be surprised to hear you say?
You can help with, you know, people with gastrointestinal disorders. You can help with people with, you know, heart problems, psoriasis of the liver or ascites. You can help with that. And it's through the stimulation of these specific points that have, like I said, the correlation either locally or distally through the brain and other arterial flows to help focus into these organs. Whether it be, let's say, for the heart, mm-hmm. increasing contractibility of the heart if somebody has low output, so they're having like congestive heart failure. So with congestive heart failure, you have swelling of the ankles or the legs, also called edema. So will help with the contractibility of the heart. So if the heart's pumping, you're not having a backup, and that backup is what's causing the swelling. Also, we can help with the function of the kidneys to drain the water out of the body. So through these needles, this is one way we can do it.
Interesting. And you don't just go once. You've got to go several times, I imagine, before you get a clean bill of health, right?
Every once in a while, we get miracle cures or whatever, if you want to call them. Just, you know, somebody comes in once, they've had sciatica for however long, and they get one treatment and they're cured. But it's a compounding treatment, and I tell people, you're not going to go to the gym once and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime. You got to put some time and effort into it and keep going back and building on the previous session.
Yeah.
So going back to the MRI thing I was talking about, so after the needle's removed, there's still brain activity for about 72 hours.
Oh.
So it's not 100% the same stimulation as when the needle's put in. It's tapering down, but there's still activity. So if you come in a regular interval, especially at the beginning, if you're having severe, you know, ailment, whatever, if you're coming in those 72-hour intervals, you keep stimulating the brain, and it's going to add on itself. It's going to keep changing, and it actually changes neuroplasticity of the brain, and you change the brain's function.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. All right. Drew Nystrom practices acupuncture in Westminster, California. You can call him for a free 15-minute consultation, and I'd like to do that, but I don't know your number. Would you like to give it out now?
Yes, it's 714-709-8030.
Okay, very good. And is there a website people should visit as well?
Yeah, we can visit advancedwellnesscenter.org. That's my group website that I work with. Or you can visit my personal website at precisionpointwellness.com.
Precisionpointwellness.com. All right. Very good. A pleasure to speak with you. And one more question.
Of course.
How much blood is there?
Typically, there's no blood.
Whew, good.
Yeah.
Nice to speak with you, and congratulations on your practice and continued good luck there in Westminster, California, doing acupuncture.
All right, thank you so much, Phil.
You're welcome. All right. So what do you think? Are you up for it?
I'm up for it. I'll do it.
Yeah?
I mean, you said there is really to no pain.
I had severe neck and shoulder pain,
mm-hmm.
and after about, I'd say, six treatments, about 45 minutes each. Some went about an hour. In my home, as a matter of fact. I had a guy come to the house. It's gone. No trace of the pain.
And it hasn't come back.
No, it has not come back. And I think that 72-hour thing where it stays in your brain, you know what that is? That's you telling people that you had acupuncture. Right? And they say, what? What are you talking about? You, of all people, acupuncture?
Hey.
You're a skeptic. No, no, I'm serious. I thought I would try it, and I did. And I, for whatever reason, it worked. I can't explain it, but it did.
You don't need to explain it.
No.
As long as it works.
That's the point. As long as the pain goes, I'm down. As the kids would say.
Is that what the kids are saying these days?
That's what the kids are saying. Probably not anymore if I'm saying it. You know, it's jumped the shark. The next time you head to Hawaii, you should figure out which beaches to visit because some are better for different things, like families, like romance, body surfing. How about body watching?
Oh.
Our travel guy has compiled an exhaustive list, mostly the body watching beaches, but he joins us live to tell us about all of them next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Time's flying, huh?
Sure is.
That's good. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, Adda.com. You're at our website. You can visit the show fun page, visit the links page, all sorts of things on the website that you can enjoy, including how to watch this show live. It's on the how to listen page.
Is it really?
That's right. So it's a weird thing, how to listen, and then boom, there's a button where you could watch live, and you could see Skylar Charisma's smiling face on the camera right now.
Oh, hi.
See?
I'm going to have to sit over there next time because that'll be my good side.
Yeah. Hey, it's time to pack the kids into a suitcase, hop on a plane, and head to the beach in Hawaii, where we'll find our travel guy, generally speaking, at the beach, Gary Warner. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Well, I'm not there in body, but I'm there in spirit.
Yeah, because you're a beach guy, aren't you?
I am a beach guy, man. I collect them, you know, got sand between my toes, probably going back, you know, 25 years.
Yeah, you know what? I have suitcases and water sandals and all these types of things, and they're full of sand from Hawaii.
Yeah,
and I just you can't get rid of it. It clings to your stuff, and it doesn't.
Well, they have those really big. Granule beaches there. It's the volcanic thing, and yeah, the stuff sticks to you.
Yeah, now there are some great beaches in Hawaii. Many of the worst beaches in Hawaii are better than many of the best beaches on the mainland. Is that an accurate statement?
That's a very accurate statement.
Yeah. So let's look at some of your recommended spots, beaches that are known for different things. And
I thought we'd talk, rather than going through sort of like the what's the best five beaches or anything like that, just beaches for kind of specific things you might want to do, depending on, you know, who you are and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know, like if you really want to just go out and party during the summer, my favorite spot would probably be up at the north end of Kanapali in Maui, around Black Rock, which is where you'll have all these people coming to jump off the big stone that's in the middle of the beach there. It's just a lot going on. It's a great people watching spot, and just a lot of meetups going on. Great spot.
A lot of drinking and a lot of people doing ridiculous things off of that rock when they jump in the water, right?
Yeah, and as you know, there's a boardwalk that goes all the way along Kanapali past numerous bars. So yes, if you want to get
your drink before
making that big jump, you can get it.
Yeah, you gotta get some liquid courage.
On the backside, you know, if you just want to like have like a romantic get together with your significant other, even though it's very popular during the daytime, in the late afternoon, I really like Kailua over on Oahu. It's on the other side of the ridge from Honolulu. Very pretty beach. There's some small islands off the coast there, and it's a great spot both to just take a swim in the late afternoon and also just enjoy the.
Now, you say small islands. Is that there's the China? They call it the Chinaman's
Hat,
right?
Yeah, there's the whole thing with Chinaman's Hat and whether they're using that name anymore. That's why I didn't mention it.
They're not calling it that anymore, are they?
Well, no. It's you know, sort of like it's like Squaw Mountain in Phoenix got its name.
Yeah.
Changed to Piestewa.
Yeah. Did they give it a name yet?
You know, I think they did. I think that there's a Hawaiian name for it, like there is for everything, but I just don't have that right now.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. Didn't mean to put you on the spot.
That's all right, man. That's right. You always put me on the spot. I'll just say I don't know. You know, for families, I really like the Poipu area in Kauai. The beaches down there are nice and mellow. There's an area for toddlers, but also the older kids, the teenagers can go over this little hill at the park and go over to a side that has some nice body surfing. There's Brennecke's Broiler right there on the beach where you can go and have a burger and a beer and watch the whole scene. To me, that's just this nice little twin beach, very shallow, no waves. And then on the other side, pretty good waves, yeah, plus a lot of nice spots.
And what people don't know, if they go snorkeling in the area, they'll find this little fish. It's called the poi, and it eats the coral, and then it poos out sand. And that's why it's called the Poi Poo Beach.
Okay.
Is that a fact you just made up?
I made that up.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that one before, and I've heard most of them, I would say, you know.
Tough crowd.
All right. Let's talk about bodies.
Hotties? Hotties.
Both. Well, yeah. We'll start out with body surfing. If you really want to get out there and try your body surfing, the place to go is Sandy Beach, which is on the south end of Oahu. That's where Barack Obama goes to body surf.
That's where you're not going to get hurt. You're not going to hit a lava rock or a piece of coral, right?
Yeah, but the waves are pretty strong. I mean, there's other spots probably to start out at, over in Kanapali or something like that. Just depends on how the waves are. But Sandy Beach is the place that really has a nice wave for body surfing if you know what you're doing. You got to, just not go straight. You got to cut, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to get closed out.
Follow the hand.
That's how you end up with that sand that you come back with.
That's right. Put one arm out and follow the hand. You put that arm out, that's the direction you're
going
to go.
Now let's talk about the other kind of bods, which is basically just, going and kind of watching and seeing the beautiful women and the handsome men. The hot bods.
Yeah.
And, most beaches you can find something along those lines throughout the area there. My favorite spot, though, probably is in the winter. Winner at Pipeline during the big surf contest.
Yep.
Boy, you just get the surfers out there and the surfers' girlfriends and the models and all the wannabes. And,
you feel comfortable breaking out the camera because all the guys are out there with the huge lenses, presumably taking pictures of surfers.
Oh, yeah.
No one knows what you're really taking
photos of.
Videoing
the whole thing. Yeah. And there's a lot of the the surf companies bring out their models that they have both women surfers and they have models and they live in these houses that are right in back of Pipeline Beach there.
Yeah.
Different companies. There's Volcom House. There's, all these other ones. And they'll come out and they want you to take pictures of them because, they're trying to build up popularity of these people.
Sure. Of course they are. And also that's the scene where they get the shot of the gal on the sand. Right, and it's usually a shot from the perspective you see her heels first,
yep,
and then you see the ocean above her head,
right,
and that's the shot that gets in the surfer magazines, right?
You know it, man. You know it. Yeah. It's a great scene. It's a great spot. It's probably, this is the World Series of surfing. The greatest surfer of all time, Kelly Slater, is the Babe Ruth.
Amazing.
Or
yeah, he's 60 years old now, and he's still surfing.
But he's already retired once, and he's come back, and he's just amazing. So you can see the best surfer of all time.
Not bad to look at.
Used to date Pamela Anderson.
Just pay nothing. And what's great about Pipeline, they have a triple crown there. It's they start out down at Sunset Beach, then they go to Waimea Bay, and then they end up at I take it back. They start out over by the town, then they go over to Sunset. But Pipeline, the break is there maybe 7,500 feet off the shoreline, and so you can really see what's going on.
Yeah.
It's great. It's, like
it's a beautiful sense. Beach, too. It really is.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do every year.
Now, I want to tap into your background as a muckraking journalist.
Yes.
And have you found any controversy at Hawaiian beaches?
Yes, you know, there's what happens is there's some beaches that I'll suggest people go to, and then I get a lot of blowback on it. The West Side beaches in Oahu, there's a lot of crime on, along some of those areas, petty crime. But if you get up to you know, the State Beach at the very top of the West Side, one of the most beautiful beaches in all of the islands. But if, every time I say you got to go up there, people say you're nuts. Why would you go up there? The one that I probably get the most negative feedback on is one of my favorites, and that's a beach on the North Shore of Kauai where they filmed South Pacific. And you have to park on the side of the road and you hike on down, and it's where they did the, you know, I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair.
Yeah, I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair.
And just like that. Yeah, she
but
loves it.
There's also an outcropping of volcanic rock there, and a lot of wedding photographers in the summer will take, you know, people out there to take photographs because it's fairly placid during the summer. The big waves move around the island. Summer is south side, you know, winter is north side. But people have a tendency to go down there at any old given time. This is a place called Lumahi Beach. And there's been a number of people who have been injured and a few who have even been swept away.
Ooh.
And killed by going out on the rocks, or even it's a steep beach and the waves can come up and really draw you back fast. So every time I tell people, you know, park on the side of the road, go down this muddy trail to this beautiful beach where there's no lifeguard, you know, I always get the stuff about, you know, this person was injured.
Well, look, you're grown as adults, and you can have your wits about you and be responsible about your play at the beach, and you won't get swept away.
Right. And the thing that's happened over the last couple of years is they put some signage down there and said basically, you know, X number of people have been injured, so yeah. Watch your step. It takes away a little bit from the natural beauty, but hey, you know, people don't know. People don't know. They just hear about this great beach and they want to go down and see it. Then they'll go out on the rocks because it's fairly placid, even in the winter.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, a big, huge breaker will come and off they go.
Gary Warner, always a pleasure to speak with you. Man, do I need to get to the beach now.
Hey, one last thing. I was on Southwest Airlines and I was talking with some of the flight attendants, and they think that we may see some Southwest action from the West Coast into Hawaii by the end of the year.
No kidding. A cheap flight.
Yep.
With whatever it is that they serve you.
Two bags, although with, you know, how many bikinis can you put in a bag?
I don't know. Lovely to speak with you, sir. Talk to you
again
soon.
Always good.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Hey, I'm getting on the Coast Starlight tomorrow. Going to be taking the train up to Seattle. So we'll be talking next time back in the Northwest.
Sounds good. Talk to you next time. All right.
Bye. Mahalo.
Hey, Skyler.
Yes.
Did you know 73% of men nickname their junk?
I do now.
We have the top 11 nicknames next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Man, the movie stars are getting all the sex, aren't they?
Don't they always?
Is that movie stars, rock stars, right?
Exactly.
If they just told you in school, right? Never mind all this study and all that. Learn acting and learn how to play a guitar. If they just be honest with you and tell you, you know, if that's what you're trying to do in life is to just, you know, get a lot of sex.
Then you wouldn't have to try so hard.
Yeah, because look, clearly that is the life goal of a lot of people once they're grown-ups and they realize, oh, dude, I didn't learn anything except how to dig a ditch. Or I practiced this math stuff and now I can, you know, do an equation or a formula or a theorem.
Right.
That's not getting any chicks.
No, not not the hot ones.
But
anyway.
But the acting thing, though, we learn from time to time just how prolific the sex life of actors and actresses is. And we have a new example of that. And this guy passed away a year ago or so, didn't he?
He did. But you know what lives on?
that love and feeling?
That love and feeling. Peter O'Toole.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes. Man, he was a heartthrob back in the day. He had no trouble with the ladies. And there's actually a new book called Peter O'Toole, Hellraiser, Sexual Outlaw, Irish Rebel coming out. And in it, it'll tell you how many women he slept with.
Does it list them?
Well, it lists a few.
I'm thinking a couple hundred.
Okay.
That's pretty prolific,
isn't
it?
For Lawrence of Arabia? Like, really?
Well, I mean, that film alone probably got him several dozen.
Okay. Well, why don't you multiply that by, I don't even know, because I'm not going to do the math right now, over 1,000. He has slept with over 1,000 women. 1,033 to be exact, including Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. She did it. She went for it.
Wow.
So I wonder how many.
And she was a babe at the time.
She was a babe, yeah. So how many pair of panties do you think he?
Oh, he's not.
He was able to snatch.
He wasn't the panty snatcher. But in this case, no, he wouldn't need to snatch them.
They were just thrown at him.
Here, take my panties. Oh, thank you very much.
How do you find time?
Let me introduce you to O'Toole.
You think that's what he called it?
No, he should if he didn't. In fact, most men. 73% of men actually do have a nickname for their junk.
I believe it.
For their O'Toole, as it were. This is a new survey, and of the guys who have nicknamed, 72% went with nicknames that evoke strength and power.
Of course.
And 59% say a woman came up with the nickname.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we're clever sometimes.
Yeah. Or the guys are clever to weave that kind of lore. The 11 most popular nicknames. This means that lots of guys use these nicknames, these 11. And I can tell you that I've never, well, maybe, no, none of them.
I don't think.
One of them is Troy.
All right. Because of Brad Pitt?
I don't know. Maybe a lot of these guys are dating gals named Helen. Hercules is another one.
Yeah.
The Rock.
Yeah, I can see that.
How does that make The Rock feel?
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Oh, God. If you're doing it right, I guess.
That was so wrong.
This one, again, multiple versions, multiple usage, because these are the most popular nicknames. Russell the Muscle.
No.
Never heard of that one.
No.
How about Wilfred?
The big dog?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, there's the big dog, Wilfred. That makes sense.
Okay.
Then there's Dave. Like to introduce you to Dave.
Okay.
All right. There's Jerry. These are the most popular nicknames.
Are they just naming them after themselves?
There's Johnny, which I see, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There's Randy.
Yeah.
You can see that?
Well, yeah. Do I make you Randy, baby?
How about Wendell? Is that another big dog?
No, I'm thinking Clifford.
Yeah, that's right. But Clifford didn't make the list.
No.
But Napoleon did.
Yeah.
What? Yeah?
Well, Napoleon Dynamite.
But he was short. Napoleon, the original Napoleon.
Yeah, I know. But maybe they were equal.
I mean, little guy syndrome. Okay, fine. Here's my little guy. His name is Napoleon.
Yeah. Love it.
He's got a syndrome and needs some therapy. Gosh.
Oh, that went south.
You know who might need some therapy is this dude who recently tried to get airborne in a creative way.
He succeeded.
What did he do?
Well, I've always wanted to do this. I never thought it could actually be done. So there is a guy who got 110 helium balloons, attached it to a lawn chair, and floated up in the air. This 26-year-old dude in Canada apparently wanted to get attention for his cleaning business, so he tied all those balloons to a lawn chair, floated up into the sky, and believe it or not, he actually landed safely. But guess who was there?
Who was there?
Guess who was there to greet him after he landed?
A welcoming party.
Yeah, called the cops.
No!
Yep. Yeah, they weren't going to let him get away with that. So we're not actually sure how high he got, but it was high enough to get a lot of attention.
Yeah, he must have gotten into airspace.
Mm-hmm. He was charged with mischief since the chair could have hurt someone when it fell.
Yes.
And he could be facing more charges for violating Canada's federal aviation laws. Oh, by the way, that happened in Canada. Sorry.
Do Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our first hour, we had a guy who killed himself inadvertently by lighting off a very powerful firework perched on his head.
Yeah.
This hour, we have another guy who had a creative way of dying. A guy in Texas. He wanted to go swimming in a marina this past weekend, but people warned him there was a 12-foot gator in there. So he yelled, quote, F that gator.
Well.
He jumped in and was dragged underwater and killed by that 12-foot alligator.
So,
famous last words. Yeah.
F that gator.
Do you use the self-checkout when you go to the store?
I do, actually. Only when I have a couple items.
How do you do with that? Pretty good?
Fine. It's easy.
I seem to do well until I get multiple items.
Yes.
And then I get impatient.
It's
and
frustrating.
And I call the lady over, the attendant, who gets to watch the frustrated people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, is there a way to do multiples? And she says, yes, there is. And then she has to use a key and dial in a secret code and all these different things. And I said, why can't I just do it? She says, I'm sorry. These machines aren't that smart. But so I'm smarter than the machine. I should be able to go up there and type in, hit a button and then type a number 9.
Apples times 3.
I bought 9 of these.
Yeah,
okay?
Whatever.
Fine. They don't want to do that.
Why?
Maybe we'll screw up and we'll end up buying 10 of, but when we only had 7.
Or maybe then that would put the attendant out of work.
A 56-year-old woman got a little frustrated doing the self-checkout thing. She was at a grocery store in Wisconsin last week. And after she got her cheese in the bag, but she got a few other things, she was so frustrated when she started screaming. Things weren't going well. So when the manager tried to calm her down, she hit him in the face.
What?
She hit him in the face with a VCR.
She had a VCR?
Yeah, that's the weirdest part of the story, isn't it?
Yes.
And then she took off. But the cops caught her later and arrested her for disorderly conduct.
With a VCR.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, ladies.
By the way, the most popular video game channel on YouTube.
Yeah.
Made $7.5 million last year. Just some kids sitting around playing video games and other people watching him play video games.
Oh, man.
$7.5 million last year.
That's what it's come to.
Yeah, it has.
Well, hey, you didn't get my money.
We love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com or on Twitter at FAF Show, PHAF. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. If you listen on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review. Leave us a voicemail. Look for the blue tab on the website. It's free. You just need a mic on your computer. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Skylar Charisma and all of the friends, I'm Phil. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.